B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome in on Wednesday here on Zolak and Bertrand. Weird week. Patriots playing on a Thursday night. We've got a lot of that to get to today. Bert Breer is going to be with us. We'll also talk to David Andrews, allegedly. What time is that going to happen, Zo?
11 o'clock. That's what I've been told.
I believe we're also going to be talking to a former Patriot at some point today.
That would be outstanding.
More on that story in a little bit. We're making that happen today, Zo. Former Patriot John Smith, we hope. We'll give you the reasons why.
He's alive.
The details on that. He is alive and well. I just want to state that first and foremost, John Smith alive and well. And let's hope it stays that way for a long time. All right. Did you watch the game last night, Zo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the game was so bad, it made me turn away at times, but I never got fixated on anything else. So I always kept coming back, and that's how good the National Football League is no matter how sucky the product is, and that sucked last night, I came back to it.
I shut it off. I shut it off. I never went back. I said, I don't know why I'm doing this. This is making me angry at the NFL to watch this game. Like, this product sucks. This game stinks. The Cowboys stink.
Do they?
The Ravens aren't that good. That isn't that weird? I take that out of that game. Like, this Ravens team is not that good.
That's one of my big takeaways is, was last year for them just like one and done? Like, were they content on what they did last year? And they just thought they were going to roll it out and nobody was going to adjust to what they do? And this is what you got? Now that organization is stuck with what they have?
Do you remember how dangerously close John Harbaugh was to losing his job two seasons ago?
Yeah.
For a lot of people, it was a foregone conclusion that he was out, that he was going to get fired.
Right. Lamar Jackson saved his ass.
And they had a great year last year. But 2 years ago, there were people saying, oh, yeah, this is going to be it for John Harbaugh. He's out at the end of the year. This is done for him. You know what? I think they might want to start talking about it again in Baltimore. Because all the reasons you just said, Zo, have they gotten better from a year ago? Have they advanced that offense? Have they advanced their team from where they were last season? And when you look at them, do you think they're a better or worse contender than they were a year ago? I don't think they're the same contender they were last season, because last season at least there was a new, fresh element to it that teams had to be ready for every week. Now it's a stale offense a year later. It's funny how fast that happens in the NFL.
Yeah, it is.
Because it happens quickly.
And the other reason I watched last night, too, was I just want to see what Andy Dalton could do with Zeke Elliott, with Gallup, with Amari Cooper, with CeeDee Lamb, with a good tight end. Like, he's got a good skill set, because a lot of people wanted Andy Dalton to be the quarterback here a year ago. Like, that was an option. Like, go get Andy Dalton.
I think you're overstating it. I think it was an option. I don't think a lot of people wanted that.
I don't know. That was the first name. I mean, and you got guys like Charlie Weiss pounding that thing. Like, Charlie's like, that's the guy you got to go get. Oh, no. Thank God you didn't. I'm actually happy Cam Newton's here instead of Andy Dalton. That's how bad Andy Dalton is. And there were plays to be made last night with that skill set. He just couldn't make them. Tell you what, he could throw one hell of a Hail Mary, though. Jesus.
He does. He can wind up. He can throw it down the field.
70 yards in the air.
So my questions on that game are, again, after shutting it off, it was so bad. And I want to get to the pregame stuff, too. What a disaster that was. The Ravens win for the Patriots. Is that as valuable as we thought it was?
At the time, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Ravens had, what, two losses coming in?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good win. See, I love how we do this. You know, at the end of the year, we look back.
We always do.
I think you got to timestamp that thing. At that time, that was a damn good win for a struggling football team. that handled the elements, that protected the football, that defended Lamar Jackson and everything that he brought to the table. That was a damn good win for that football team at that time. I can't take that away from them.
No, I mean, I'm not trying to take it away, but I just don't know if I value the opponent as much as I did, having seen them play after that. And I know that they've had COVID and they've had weird situations of their own, but I just look at that team and say, I don't believe in that team. I don't believe in that Baltimore team. I don't fear them on behalf of, you know, the teams at the top of the AFC.
Don't you believe in Cleveland more than you believe in them?
Yeah, in a weird way, I do.
Cleveland, like, I watched Cleveland the other day. Like, that's a team that's got it going on. Like, ooh, that'd be a tough team to play. Because
yes.
They got the mojo on defense. It seems like they're well coached. And it's not to say that the Ravens aren't well coached. They're just the same. They haven't changed. They haven't adapted to what they did. There's nothing new from what they did a year ago. The defense got worse personnel-wise, and they just rolled it out on offense and said, we're just going to play with one receiver. Lost a tight end. They're down one tight end. And it's the same old thing for them. I can predict their plays. And this is how stupid Dallas is, that on a 4th-and-2, a critical 4th-and-2 early in that game, everybody in the building knew that they were going to go empty and Lamar Jackson was going to take off and run. And they went cover one man, and they split the middle of the field and gave him an easy walk-in 40-plus-yard touchdown. That was embarrassing for Dallas. As bad as the Ravens are, Dallas is 500 times worse. With more money spent on skill positions, more money spent on coaches over the years. Like, that's a team that by now should have been able to figure some things out. They're embarrassing on defense and are starting to get really embarrassing on offense. And that's just not all about losing Dak. You should be able to get out there and manage some games even without Dak Prescott. I'm sorry.
So I want to spin it forward into the Patriots this week. And as I said, is that Ravens win as valuable as it once was to everyone? Here are the 6 Patriot wins to this point. Miami in week 1, as we know. The Raiders win in week 3. Later, the Jets and Ravens back-to-back wins. The Jets game far too close for comfort. I'm going to put that one as maybe their worst win of the year. That one's at the bottom for me.
So wait a minute. So Miami and the Raiders are good wins then, considering how those teams are playing, right?
Oh, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Yes. Let me make this point because I'm not going to be a hypocrite on this. You watch the Baltimore win, which is a good win. I'm not trying to say it was a bad win. I just don't know if I value Baltimore as an opponent as much as I did. The Arizona win, which you know I loved, that just showed grit and balls there on the Patriots part, hanging in there. And the Chargers blowout win this past week. The Miami and Raiders wins look better to me. Those in hindsight look like better wins than maybe we gave them credit for at the time. So I am retroactively saying the Miami and Raiders wins are better wins than we realized. And maybe the Baltimore win is going from a rating of like a 9 to a 7.5. Okay? Still very good. It's just not as great as maybe we thought it was. I'm just downgrading it. I'm not saying it's a bad win or anything like that. Don't stretch it. So, brings me to this week. Short week, West Coast trip, which everyone will, you know, try and spin into a positive, as we've all tried to do. I'm guilty of it, too, which is the Patriots are all together. They're at a college campus. Those are some of those team bonding moments. So, you asked Bill Belichick about it in the pregame interview on Sunday. I heard that question. And I do believe that's like a real thing. Of course, when teams go on the road and they only have, you know, each other right now to spend time with, that can lead to some good weeks of very focused practice and prep. And I believe it.
If you think that question, that interview was good, wait until you hear tomorrow night's.
Oh, look at what a tease. What a tease, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll leave it for tomorrow night, but the convenience of UCLA and what Chip Kelly and the league has done for them and having new facilities at this level and at the college level does for teams and their ability to prepare.
So are you saying that some of the college facilities are better than the NFL facilities?
UCLA's complex sounds a hell of a lot better than what they have here, and what they have here is phenomenal.
In the NFL, if you don't have to pay the players, I bet you could have better facilities. So
that's definitely the case. Look at every SEC program; they make all this money in bowl money. They get all this money in for the BCS, the BCS, but the College Football Playoff now. And they have to use it. So what do they use it on? Facilities.
Yeah,
they make these ridiculous facilities on campus and these palaces they walk into.
Jim Louth heard me talking to Stacey James, and Stacey's just sort of the juggler of all the media stuff, right? And he goes, we walk out of the hotel, we're there. They got 2 outdoor facilities. Now, the weather helps them out there. Having 70 degrees in your ability to move about when a state
78 there yesterday.
The whole entire state shut down out there. They can't do anything. But all they do is get out of the hotel. They go right to the field right next door. There's the weight room. They have video boards, scheduling, juggling all these teams. You got Cal's basketball team there. You got all the UCLA teams working out inside their facility. They come in and they sweep it with all the cleaning. Then, boom, the Patriots go in. And then while they're doing that, video boards are up to where you're watching practice as you move in and out throughout the facility.
Yeah.
Sounds like I missed one hell of a trip here.
Oh, God, no, please. Bring it back to you.
Yeah. I would have enjoyed it.
Here's my take
this,
on this. Yeah? Here's the take. And I mentioned that because I know that's going to get brought up is somehow this is easier for the Patriots to play this way. There's nothing easy, even with great facilities and a great setup, of being on the road for two games on the West Coast. It's just not. I mean, hey. Even some players, Shaq Mason, will tell you you're going to get used to the sun out there. But this game tomorrow night is setting up to be either the best win of the season, Zoe, or the most disappointing, not worst, but most disappointing loss of the year.
I agree with that.
Because I feel like they're riding high right now. They've won four or five. They feel good. Fans feel good. We feel like they're going in the right direction. We feel like there's a path, and even though some, like Chris Gasper, have budgeted them a loss, and it has to be against the Rams, I think it's going to be pretty deflating if they lose this game. But it's also going to be, I think, maybe their best win of the year if they pull it off.
I said it last Friday. I just felt good about them and their ability to get on the road and handle things because, you know, it's a tight ship. But to come back home at 7-6, now all of a sudden they become the team you don't want to play.
All right,
I'm not even talking playoffs. I'm talking week to week. We're not. It's nothing to do with the playoffs. I'm talking moving to the next week. And now, you know, you come back. You're Friday morning. You got two extra days until you play the following week. And I know it's a road game, but hey, it helps you. Don't tell me that doesn't help rest wise this time of year.
Little path talk, little schedule talk here, and we got to talk about the COVID situation pregame last night with Dez Bryant because I thought the league looked really bad on that whole setup. We'll get to that coming up next. Your calls, 617-779-0985. And do not forget, another person will be qualified at 10:50 this morning when we give away a copy of PGA 2K21. That will qualify you to win a PS5. We're giving away a PS5 this week. Your next chance to win at 10:50.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, Peter. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just,
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Confirm, former Patriots kicker John Smith is going to join us at 1:20 today.
Smitty!
1:20 today, he'll jump on the show with us. Greg Bedard will be happy.
Are we going to tell people why?
Yeah, but let's first get to the COVID situation last night. Okay. We'll get to it. We'll do it next segment. We'll explain why. Dez Bryant last night was pulled off the field during warm-ups. In a very eventful night for him, I would say so. He was pulled off the field and told that he had tested positive.
I'm so confused by this.
I am too. I don't understand how this happens at this point in the season. Okay? We're not in week one. We're not in week two. The pandemic and the COVID situation is not exactly new.
Are they Seattle or are they a team that's had massive, massive problems with COVID? That's a team that has had massive problems with COVID-19.
Yes.
Within their facility. Four different strands, right, by the way? And one was very severe.
Is that right? Four different strands? Is there something
that they
like different mutations of the virus?
The Ravens released a statement on this, I think a week ago, where they talked about this is what happened in our facility. There were four different strands we found. One was extremely contagious and severe.
Isn't that interesting? How it mutates.
I never heard of that until they released a statement on it. I think Bert's talked about this too.
Yeah, here it is. I'm reading it that the Ravens were informed that at least four unique strains of COVID-19 were within the team's facility. It's interesting.
The one that got him was a highly contagious one. So,
three of the four were stopped and not spread within our organization.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the fourth was a highly contagious strain and spread throughout the organization.
I'm confused by this because, and we've talked about this before on the show. I've gotten tested here locally at the Patriots facility where they get tested. Within a half hour if you have an issue on the quick rapid. Why did it take so long for the information to get back on his test that he took early in the morning? The pregame.
I don't know.
7:30 p.m.
I don't know. But how is it that
can you also explain the strain? Like the different strains? They're talking about different strains now?
So viruses mutate.
Yeah.
Viruses always mutate. Some of them mutate a lot faster than others, but there's also different strains where the, how it's been described to me, like in, layman's terms, is the genetic makeup of it, if that's the right word to use, is slightly different from one to the other.
Can they identify that in a test, though?
Yes, they can.
Oh, so you test
to a laboratory, they can... But I don't think they're doing that for everybody who's testing positive. I don't think that's the case. But
they had such an outbreak that they got some different testing. And in fact, I don't know. Right? I mean, half the team had it, basically. They were up over, mid-20s with positive tests?
I started talking about different strains.
Now we got a
batch of things
right?
to worry about.
Yeah.
A mutated virus.
Right. The good thing about COVID-19 is that it actually mutates slowly compared to other viruses, which makes it a better candidate for vaccines.
That is good news.
Yeah. I mean, relatively speaking, that's the good news about this one. Where are we at? So, I don't know. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how it is that Dez Bryant is on the field hugging a bunch of other people, people on the Dallas sideline, and then he gets pulled off the field and has a Twitter meltdown.
He's pissed.
Saying that that was it. He was going home. He was quitting the season. He was all done. He has since taken it back. He has rescinded that. He's going to be back. He's going to continue playing. But he was not happy at all. He obviously, I think, really wanted to play in this game against the Cowboys. But, NFL, what is going on? Why do you continue to have these issues on a team where you know there's an elevated risk of COVID? Right?
Right.
Elevated risk. You have a team that's been sort of hit with it pretty hard, and you needed to go out onto the field during warmups to tell the guy, "Hey, you got to get out of here."
What do you do? Do you tap him with shoulder with your finger? Do you use a 10-foot pole and you poke him?
That's a great question.
Hey, buddy,
who has to go tell him?
I'm not going to tell him. You go tell him.
I'm not going to talk to him. Get away from me! Get it off.
First of all, he's bat bleep crazy to begin with. I don't need this amount of crazy injected into him. Oh, yeah, yes. Who's the Turk? Who delivers the bad news?
I don't know who has to go do that. I don't know whose task that is. I'm guessing
Who tells Harbaugh, hey, your receiver's not playing tonight, okay?
But this is part of the problem. Like, if you have someone who is positive when they tested in the morning and you can't figure it out until the point where he's on the field, I mean, you're already sort of assuming, and I'm guessing this is the case and why it is continuing to spread within teams. People are assuming that the same way, what's his name in Denver did? The quarterback. Why can't I remember his name? Drew Lock's mom, right? Saying, well, they tested. They test all the time and they were negative. People are just assuming, well, I'm testing negative and everybody in here is testing negative. If not, they wouldn't be here. Except here's a clear cut example of, even if you've been testing negative, you could still have someone who has it and is spreading it and, when you're on the field, like, you can't just assume that because a player's out there on the field with you that he's been tested and he doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Like, all those guys hugging Dez Bryant, why would they have, when you just sort of think, oh, everyone's been tested. I don't have to worry about it. Yeah, Dez Bryant, give me a hug. Yeah, let's hug it out.
When you're in your little team environment, your little bubble, you sort of think you have power, not power over it, but, hey, I've been cleared. You know, we're all doing this. We're all in this together. So why, you know, he's on a playing field with us. We've been cleared. They've obviously been cleared, all these players. You know, your quarterback missed games. Ingram missed games. They're all back now. So I guess they're okay. I guess I'm okay. Well, you're not.
Yeah. And there are the cases where there are people who are, I mean, it's not as, I don't know how common it is, but you can have it and be infected and not be spreading it. Like, we know that's a possibility, too. Some people spread it. Some people are not. Different strains in Baltimore. The highly contagious strain versus the less highly contagious strain.
How would the league, they probably would still play the game, but how do you think the league would have handled this if you flipped the scenarios where Baltimore was a visiting team? Say they go to Dallas. They traveled the day before.
Right.
All of a sudden, one of their players had it. Oh, my God, he was on a plane with everybody.
Right.
My point is the entire plane. Even though you've been probably in meetings during the day with the team at the team hotel.
Right. So you don't believe the NFL last night when they said he has no close contacts? None? Zero?
No.
I think they're full of crap.
Do you think Dez Bryant got his ankles taped prior to the game? That's kind of standard procedure for everybody. You get your ankles taped, you go see the trainer. You think Dez had anybody working on his hamstrings and his thighs prior to the game?
Like, well, if he had a mask on, they're not going to consider it a close contact. But this is what I would say.
There's their out.
Assuming everyone was wearing it 100% of the time, which I, you know,
well,
I who knows, that place, Baltimore.
Well, that place should be 100% compliant right now.
You would hope.
The Patriots got caught not really being compliant. It was about 70%. Now they're at 100%. And the league passed or made the rule last week. Everybody wears a mask even on the sidelines now,
right,
even when you're out of the game, unless you have your helmet on, you're playing. So,
all right, 617-779-0985. I will tell you why it is that we are going to be talking to John Smith next. So I was very relieved to be able to be talking to John Smith today. We'll do that coming up in your phone calls. We got open lines. Are the phones working? T-Bone, Jim, are they working
yes,
or not
they
working? They are.
I just hope John Smith is not nervous about our show because we've had a history here.
We have a history?
And, well, I'm blaming you for this one. Yeah.
Oh, no, you're not blaming me. We'll explain next, and I will get the call screener working on my end, and we'll be able to take your calls, too. So stand by. Hardy has headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Comes to sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Timeout is called. 3 seconds remaining. John Smith is on the line. And I don't care what's on the line, Howard. You have got to say what we know in the booth.
Yes, we have to say it. Remember, this is just a football game, no matter who wins or loses. An unspeakable tragedy confirmed to us by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous perhaps of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival. To go back to the game after that news flash, which in duty bound we had to take. Frank?
Indeed it is.
So that happened 40 years ago last night, the assassination of John Lennon in New York City, and that on Monday Night Football is how a lot of people found out about it. When it happened, I tweeted that clip yesterday and wrote 40 years ago tonight, rest in peace. Zoe, I don't know if he watched the clip. I'm guessing you did not. But in the first frame, you see John Smith, Patriots kicker, lining up for a field goal against the Dolphins.
I watched the clip.
You watched the clip.
I didn't hear the clip.
Got it. So you didn't listen to the broadcast.
In the car.
Got it.
parked.
So you thought, what's that?
I was in my car parked.
Oh, you were parked.
Yes.
Okay, there's an important distinction.
Yes, which would tell me that you could have listened to the clip.
Yeah, why didn't you listen then?
I didn't have it attached to my CarPlay.
Were you sitting in the car with the car running?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
I put a banana in a tailpipe. I'm just trying to blow it out.
No. All right. Stop. So with that being the case, Zoe thought John Smith had died, not John Lennon, because John Smith was in the clip lining up for the field goal. A very famous sports broadcasting clip with Howard Cosell telling, you know, America that John Lennon had been assassinated. So you thought John Smith had died.
Yeah, the Brit.
And what did you then do? Start texting people?
First guy texted Max Lang, called him. I'm like, dude, I think Smitty died.
Oh, no.
What? No. And it just set off a chain. But yeah.
And then who did he call? Who did he call?
Pete Brock, president of the alumni group.
Great.
And normally, you know, being part of the alumni association, you get, you know, Tom Usyk passed away recently. You got disruption here on my video feed. Sorry.
That's okay. It's all right. Keep talking. We'll figure it out.
So, you know, you usually get the email, so-and-so has passed away. Here's the arrangements. Please contact your friends or other members that you may know to pass on the sad news. We usually get one of those emails. We're all checking our emails, and I guess Pete Brock did the digging that John Smith did not pass away.
So Pete Brock got in touch with John Smith and was like, hey, dude, are you dead?
Yeah, I think so.
Amazing.
It's your fault.
It's not my fault.
You did look at the replies on the tweet. A little confusion could be made.
The only confusion was after you tweeted it and people defended you. That's where the confusion came from. That's a pretty well known famous broadcasting item.
I told you this last night too. I've never seen that.
So I'd never seen that clip.
You know, maybe it's because I wasn't a Patriots fan when I was a kid at the time. So you're not watching that Monday night game and Patriots sort of stunk back in the day when Smitty was here. So that's not that crazy. You guys know me. I'm not the biggest Beatles guy. Even though I know John Lennon's death is a massive, massive thing. That was big at the time.
But you knew that it was announced on Monday Night Football. I mean, that's part of the – I mean, unfortunately, that's part of, like, the story of how the world, many people, found out he had died. It was announced for the first time on the football game.
I guess so. I did not know that. Mr. Sports Guy. Yeah.
Well, now you do.
Now I know.
Now you're aware of that.
And I just feel bad that some of these guys got alarmed by that, what Beatle did.
That field goal got blocked, by the way. It was a chip shot field goal.
Yeah, he didn't make the kick.
That blew my mind when I saw that today.
He didn't make the kick. And
I was going to say, if it was John Smith, if he had died, don't you think they would show the most famous kick, the one in the snow?
The snow game, yes, Jim.
Yeah.
Were you wondering that at all? Why they wouldn't have shown that?
With Steve Nelson clapping and the work release guy coming in with the snowblower? Yeah.
Okay. You're at least curious of why that wasn't shown? No.
Jim, it was quick. And you know me, when I see something, I go and I start bang, bang, bang.
Well, here's the thing. You replied to Beatle's tweet, right? After Beatle tweeted it out, and he said 40 years ago tonight, rest in peace. And it was the video, but you had to listen to the audio and know it was about John Lennon. You said, huh? And then followed up with, I just saw him. That was
I thought it was him. And I
know.
See any
that was at 3:24 p.m.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At 3:25 p.m., you had more than one person reply to you saying he's talking about John Lennon, though.
I didn't read the reply.
Well,
you understand that.
He was too busy calling the Patriots.
He was too busy.
Exactly. I was on speakerphone with Max.
He's too busy banging his steering wheel. No! Why?
Hey,
just talked to him. Why?
We're all getting to that age, man, where you have acquaintances.
Where you get confused by things you read online.
No. You know what I'm saying? It's been a bad year, and I would just, oh, God, not another one.
Oh, man.
Freaking Beatle.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is those who know the backstory is Cosell didn't want to do it. Frank Gifford had to talk him into it. Cosell didn't want to make the announcement on the broadcast.
Yeah, what was his reasoning?
I'm not exactly sure. I'm not, you know, I remember there was a tape that we listened to a few years back. There was some behind-the-scenes audio that got released But Gifford pressed him on it and said, if you know it, we've got to do it. He said, you've got to do it. So I think the line was, this is going to shake up the whole world, is what he said, is what Gifford said to Cassell.
What's amazing was Gifford was doing the play-by-play. Cosell wasn't setting the scene. Gifford was doing it.
So
I thought Cosell was the play-by-play guy. Or did they go back and forth?
I think it was sort of a back and forth.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But he was setting up Howard Cosell to do that, and he pressed him on it, and he did. So, hey, coming up next, we are going to be qualifying. We're going to be qualifying the PS5 winner of the day. You're not going to win the PS5 today, but you're going to win a copy of PGA 2K21. And with that, you have an opportunity to win the PS5, which we are giving away on Friday. So there are three more qualifying opportunities to win that. We're going to be doing that coming up. But first, before we do that, why don't we talk to Manny and Melrose quickly. Manny.
Hey, I think you guys are being too easy on Zoe. He said his phone wasn't connected to CarPlay. So does that mean that his phone's speakers are busted up? That he couldn't listen to the video?
Mm. Yeah. I have no idea what he means.
It's calling out Zoe for his BS.
Different interfaces, different things. And I'm with you, Zoe. Sometimes when I'm sitting in my car, parked with the engine running.
I didn't plug it into my
car. Zoe. You never pressed play. You just read it and said, oh, my God.
Thank you.
Assumed. That's all.
Well, do you have to press play? I mean, the video kind of like runs, you know, whether you press play on a Twitter video or not.
And I'm seeing John Smith run on, and I see Beatles 40 years ago, and I'm thinking he made some big kick and he died.
Exactly.
That's what I thought.
I can't believe you've never seen it. I've even seen that
really?
Movie.
This from the moron that hasn't seen 65% of the movies that every human being has seen?
I've seen that video.
Historic.
Tom's
video.
Too young, though. He can't grasp why that was like done on Monday Night Football and why that was a big deal. Like,
that's all there was,
because you couldn't pick up your phone and check. The phone was like attached to the wall and didn't have messages on it.
There was no internet.
There was no printer.
Everything
had
to come through the TV.
There was no internet?
No, Al Gore invented it, dummy.
We'll get to the giveaway. It's coming up next. Don't miss it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Drive home with Felger and Matt. Right now, Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Phone lines open. If you want to jump on board and talk to us, or if you want to call the contest line, this might be a good time to do it. I'll tell you why. Wait, Jim, my copy's missing. What happened to the copy? What is going on? I can't tell you. I know it's caller number five, but I need all the copy.
It's our boys from Boom Boom Games.
I know it
Rica.
Is.
Northville Rica.
Slack
it's,
is,
right, it's right below your live read there.
It's not there. It's not showing up.
It's showing up on mine. We have the same
system.
I know.
I just refreshed the page.
Fight.
Something's wrong. I'm able to get it up in this thing from yesterday. Hold on. I got it. Give me a second. All right, caller five to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. You will score a copy of PGA 2K21, PlayStation, and the chance to win a PS5, courtesy of Boom Boom Games. They are your home for 80s and 90s retro video games, vintage toys, cards, comics, and all your nostalgia needs. Right now, if you're caller five, you will win the game and a chance to win the PS5 on Friday. 617-931-0985 is that phone number you want to call.
This little giveaway made me think of something with Boom Boom Games. We should go up there and get a T-Bone for Christmas. Pong. Nothing else, just Pong. Atari
sorry?
With Pong? Hardy, the one with the dial.
Oh, yeah.
You got to just, the little swivel, the round one.
Yeah, like, all of a sudden,
Tom's just going to sit there and play his brother in Pong.
Pong.
But it's a soft G there, a silent G at the end, really.
What?
Say it again. Say the name of the game.
Say that again.
Pong.
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 Yeah. No. Made that
Ponga.
A Ponga.
That's Pong. Right.
Pong.
So do you remember people would stand in line, like where they would have one set up like at Kmart, and you would go in there, and people would be standing in line just to play the demo version of it.
Okay.
It was, you want to talk about something that changed the world.
They had a console.
That freaking Pong game. People lost their minds for that.
My parents used to take us to eat to Pizza Hut, and we used to get so excited to go to Pizza Hut because there was a console version right there at the entrance, and you always hoped that there was a line to wait because you would be able to play Dad or my sister in Pong. Is this a thing where it's pawn?
It's Pong.
Pong. Pan? Pam.
No.
There's two N's.
There's Pong. A pan.
Pong.
Pam.
That's one of my earliest memories. Pan. My cousin Gene Pong. Poole, they had Pong.
Gene Poole.
They brought it over to our house. Yeah. And I remember my dad like moving the TV, the huge, piece of furniture TV away from the wall and getting a screwdriver back there because you had to unscrew a couple of connections and put the little clips in there. Okay. I mean, there's no like coax, there wasn't like, the red, yellow and blue cable. No, you literally had to screw it in where I think the antenna used to go. I think that's where you screwed
UHF,
it in.
UHF, yeah.
Yeah.
And we had to double
and turn
up.
It to. Oh, what'd you do, Zoe? Did you have to turn it to channel like two?
Three. Channel three.
Channel three.
Oh my channel three. God. There's three or 53, I think, or 54. I also remember going to Sears because Intellivision came out. And Sears was the only one that had it, and it had the football game. And it was that, remember, it was like a little thing you depressed on the, it was a long handle on the handset. And the Intellivision had like a depression,
a
like
disc.
The top of a soda that you get at like say McDonald's, and you can depress for a Diet Coke. It had little buttons like that. You had to depress, and that's how you played it.
Yeah,
and that was like the coolest thing. It was Intellivision versus Atari. Which one was better? And didn't Montgomery Ward's have a version, or Sears have a version of Atari? That it wasn't Atari, but it was compatible with Atari.
I don't remember. I'll look that up.
It was the console. You could still use the same games back and forth. But it was like the knockoff. It was like, hey, do you want the Cadillac
Sears.
Or do you want the Tahoe?
Sears made it. Yep.
Well, there was.
It was called the Sears Telegames Atari 2600. That's what it was called.
And you weren't the cool kid if you got that one. You were the cool
Why
kid
is that?
If you got Atari.
What was wrong with the Sears version?
Because it's not the official Atari. It wasn't there. And those freaking Atari joysticks would break. Hardy, remember you had to take them apart? There were four screws on the bottom. And that round plastic thing would crack, and you tried to glue it to put it back in there because, God forbit, Mom and Dad were not going to buy.
They weren't going to buy. No,
we
you couldn't buy
them
extra
all, go
controllers.
Buy brand new joystick.
Right.
And you couldn't click on Amazon. With your Amazon
Look at
Prime
the levers
account.
On there. I'm looking at one right now. The levers on the switches on the front of this thing.
The television Power, you're looking at?
TV type, color or black and white. Skill of left player, expert.
It's crazy.
Skill of right player, game select and reset. And six little up and down switches on the front. I guess you weren't a cool kid if you had that Sears one, though.
I bet you
could buy one now on eBay for like $200 if you'd like to still own one. It's vintage now. Or you go to Boom Boom Games. You can do that, too.
Only if I could take it over to Brian Chumbler's house and show him. Oh, he thought he was the... You know what? It is Atari.
I got everybody texting me now that Intellivision was better.
But Intellivision was later. People. Like my parents wouldn't get an Atari, but we got an Intellivision. I want to say it was like a couple of years later.
Yeah.
But so weird. it may have been quote unquote better with the graphics, but
the people
you missed out on the first 2 years of the craze.
Yeah.
So could you go to a store and demand that they bring one out from the back, or did you have to meet guys in parking lots to find those particular systems?
You would do anything during those times, yeah.
Track yourself one. What was the going retail price of something like that back then?
No idea.
It was pricey.
Was it?
Yeah, because I remember, Mom and Dad, we can't afford that. You're not getting Intellivision ever. We can't afford that. Yeah.
Let's go to...
came out, I'm sure. Yeah, it was... shoot, we're talking, what, 1978, somewhere in there, maybe.
Oh, I'm looking at all the Intellivision games right now. Burger Time. Burger Time was...
Oh, my God, I remember that.
Lock and Chase.
Oh,
remember
God.
That one?
I'm looking at a story right now that in 1980, the Atari was retailing for $299.
That's why we didn't get one.
Yeah. That's why the knockoff version was so much better. I think it was like $60 cheaper.
And someone said in today's money, that's like an $800 system.
Yep, that would explain it.
$299
paying that price.
Wow. That's wild. That's wild. Rob in the recliner. Rob.
Hey, good timing, because I can help up with this whole Pam Pan situation. The D at the end. I heard this morning that Baltimore gets their tests done the day before. Like, they normally you get them back the next day, but since they're so close to Johnny Hopkins, they get him back that same night, and it so happens he's my old smoking.
Yeah, that's right. I went to school with Johnny Hopkins. And, yeah. Yeah.
I had heard also last night that their testing came back inconclusive. He took a rapid one yesterday, and it was inconclusive in the morning. So they sent him for another one that they then got back. But that again would say, well, wait, if it's inconclusive.
Why is he on the field?
Why are you out there?
Yeah.
What's he doing out there?
So obviously something popped up to make it inconclusive, because either you're positive or you're negative, right?
Or inconclusive.
I guess. Good times.
All right, let's get to headlines. 90 seconds. We'll be right back, and we will have David Andrews, we hope, talking to us soon. Yes? Good?
Just called and gave us a heads up. So Bert will join us at 11:20.
Okay. Awesome. Bert Breer will hold off until 11:20. We'll talk to David Andrews next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Patriots in this scoreless game on the opening drive. Now in line, a third and goal to go.
Sneak over right guard.
With an eye formation. An extra tackle in as a tight end left. And Izzo shifts to the left. It takes a snap. Yep. He leaps and extends the football to break the play. Touchdown, Patriots.
Great job by Cam there.
It's hour number 2. Zolak and Bertrand here on the Sports Hub. We go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline to welcome in the one and only Mr. David Andrews of the New England Patriots. David Andrews is brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. And David Andrews is joining us from out on the West Coast, where the Patriots are getting ready for a game against the Rams. How are things going out there this week, David?
What's up, guys? Art, are you good? Reading those ads, you know, you're struggling a little bit.
Well, that's I appreciate that, David. It's
Dirty Dave.
Yeah, they're making a little bit of sport of me. They're playing stuff over the top of
Okay, all right.
It's, gotta, yeah, you Dave, gotta, Dave, you went to Georgia. You know how tough it is.
Gotta tune all that stuff out. Dave?
I know. How do you tune it out? How do you tune it out? You know, when you're out there on the field, look, we turn this around like the pro that I am. How do you tune out the distractions when you're getting ready for a big football contest like you guys are tomorrow night, huh? How you doing?
Man, I think you know, really just, one, you got to stay in the present, first of all. And, you know, you got to have your eyes on your goal, and you got to do everything you can to get that done.
There we go.
It's a professional answer right there.
It is.
45 to nothing. Nobody saw that one coming. How fun are those type of games once you guys get rolling, especially into the third and fourth quarter? You know, okay, they're not coming back. Let's just finish this game.
You know, it was just a great team win. I mean, you can't say anything, you know, about any side of the ball. I mean, special teams, unreal performance, defense, obviously the shutout, two turnovers. And then our offense played well. You know, I mean, it was a great team win. You know, and that's how we're going to have to win, is just all-around great team football and taking advantage, you know, of our opportunities.
Do you like the time away this week? Enjoying yourself out there and that nice, beautiful weather you've got?
Yeah, I do. I enjoy these trips, man. It's always fun to get away with the guys. And, you know, sometimes during the season, you know, it's hard because guys got families and wives and girlfriends and family in town and, you know, outside distractions. You know, but when you're in a situation like this, especially with the whole coronavirus, I mean, you know, we're all together all day, locked down. You know, so it's fun. You know, get to be around each other a lot more. I enjoy these type of trips.
Dave, you come from a school down in Georgia that has SEC football money. I talked to Coach today. He said it's been unbelievable, the convenience and just how high tech everything is out there. How convenient is UCLA's facilities to where you guys are staying, and just how easy has it been made for you guys, comparable to other trips where you had to pretty much uproot things and take it, like, say, to Mexico City?
Yeah, I mean, we literally walk outside and have a weight room and, you know, two practice fields. I mean, 5 yards from where we're staying. It's an unreal thing. The hotel we're in, super nice. You know, I guess it was the Matt Slater donations out here, but no, it's been super nice. We're very fortunate to, you know, have this set up, you know, that we're in right now.
Has Slater been annoying this week? You know, acting like he knows everything about the place. Like, yeah. Hey guys, this is where I went and ate lunch when I was a student here. You know any of that?
No, he actually said like a lot of this stuff that we're using stuff was not even around when he was there. So he's kind of
funny.
Yeah, I guess where we're, like, the football facility and stuff used to be tennis courts or something, and the hotel we're in didn't even exist. So, yeah, so he's kind of, you know, but that's how it is in college sports now, you know.
Is there anything named after him there, like the Thornton Mellon School of Business? I mean, is there a like a workout room or maybe a special study room off of the weight room named after
Park
Slater?
Bench. Anything?
Yeah. Anything?
I don't think so. Oh. I haven't seen anything or heard anything. Of course, we always say the Slater practice facility and try to give him a hard time and things like that. But no, I don't know if there is any.
Was Winovich unbearable after his interception?
Well, I had to go play offense, though.
Well, the hat. I mean, he looks for the camera, and like we have Chase. You know, we have Chase on every week, and we have a lot of fun with him because he's a different cat. But this guy knows where the camera is, man. We enjoy it though. We have fun with it.
I think everyone knows where the camera is. You know, I mean, it's a new age in 2020. But no, I mean, it was a great play by him, and he obviously set us up in great scoring position.
Well, did you enjoy your FaceTime on the camera Sunday when you got your helmet knocked off?
Oh, that's right.
No, I didn't enjoy that. I don't enjoy that. That's not fun. You know, but hey, I think it was a
take
third
that penalty
conversion.
Though every time.
Third down conversion, maybe I'll take that. So keep the drive going, baby.
Third 17. Those are gifts, man.
Yeah.
How good has Josh been with you guys? Because that opening drive, you know, to find different wrinkles, you know, 12, 13 weeks into it, it's very difficult to do. But it seems like that script was there, and he called one heck of a drive and one heck of a football game.
Yeah, you know, I think that's kind of been something we've been wanting to do better, starting fast, going out there, you know, depending on the situation. You know, we got the ball first, so starting with the lead, getting some points, you know, and it was a great drive. A lot of guys executed, did a lot of good things. I mean, gosh, it felt like it was a 10-minute drive, so, you know, and capped it off with a touchdown. So it was something we guys try to keep going here, play from ahead. You know, and give our defense some room.
All right, so what are you looking for this week? You got a quick turnaround, and you've got a pretty good team you got to play against. So what's your early thought on this?
You know, I mean, you know, it's funny you say early thought. I mean, we're a day away from the game now.
It's crazy. Tomorrow. It's weird.
I know.
It's tomorrow
it's
already.
Isn't it? No, I mean, look, this is a great football team. I mean, statistically, they're top – 3-5 defense in the league. You know, arguably the could be the defensive player of the year every year on their side of the ball. You know, and then they got a great offense to go along with that. So it's going to be a big challenge. We got to do everything we can to help out our defense. And, you know, got to do everything we can to not let, you know, Aaron Donald impact the game in a major way. You know, so it's always a challenge facing these guys. They got a great coach and a good football team.
It's got to be nice not to have Ndamukong Suh and the other gap lined up over you too, right?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have some bad guys in there. I mean, you know, now you got Leonard Floyd. I think he has 7 or 8 sacks on the year at the edge. So, you know, they've always kind of done a good job of replenishing guys there. You know, anytime you've got Aaron, it allows guys to have a lot more one-on-one matchups. So, you know, it's going to be a big challenge for us up front. You know, we just have to do a good job of, you know, staying ahead of down distances and, you know, keep moving forward with positive plays.
All right, David. Well, good luck getting ready for a game that's already happening tomorrow, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, guys. See y'all.
All right,
buddy. Thanks. Good luck.
David Andrews joining us from UCLA. Patriots getting ready for a game. Going back to SoFi Stadium tomorrow night for another game, and this time with the Rams. 617-779-0985 is the phone number for you if you want to jump on board. Bert Breer is going to join us coming up next segment. You're right, so. Yeah, they have Aaron Donald. They don't have Ndamukong Suh anymore.
I mean, that's you, thank you God. talk about being a center, making sure, going back to that Super Bowl, that you've got every freaking line call right. Because Darnold explodes. He takes off, right? You know, as soon as that ball snapped, I would say he's more disruptive than Sue is. Sue's just a big, heavy man that can play, and he's got that strength with his arms where he just throws guys. Like, you got to have your head on a swivel. You got to make sure your guards are pulling right. You're squaring guys up in a hole. But it's got to be a little bit of a relief not to play with both those guys shaded right over your nose, you know?
So do we have that same conversation this week as we had a week ago, which is – you've got to get rid of the football quickly when you're throwing the football? Because we were talking about that last week.
I think you have it every week, right? You're going to have it every week.
Yeah, I mean, some teams are better than others at getting after the quarterback.
Yeah, this one's disruptive.
Yeah.
But I thought they did a good job of Bosa last week.
Aaron Donald, to me, is one of the guys in the league right now. You know, you play that game, like, who in the league right now is a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
He's like a no-doubter.
It's Reggie White type in Reggie's early days. Yeah.
He's in. Absolutely. He's in. That guy's already. He could retire tomorrow and he's in. That's how I feel about him as a player. He's that good.
And I think when you hear the defensive guys talk about it, like, I put a lot of stock into what, like, guys like Teddy Bruschi, Willie McGinnis say, because, you know, they know defense. I know offense. I like watching offensive guys. But when they're wowed by him and his ability to disrupt games, and, you know, they go into detail talking about, okay, he didn't make the tackle, but that's sort of the Richard Seymour type impact that Richard had when he was here, because you're commanding double teams. You know, you're getting that type of attention, double, triple teams, chipping with the back, and allowed those other type of guys to have great careers and have one-on-ones on the backside. You know, other guys benefit on that defense for guys like Aaron Donald. So they may not realize it right now, but they'll thank him when he's gone or they're gone.
Yeah. All right, let's talk to Bert Breer. He had some really interesting stuff in his column this week, including a conversation they had with Devin McCourty about Cam Newton. And I think it proves some things that some of us have been saying in recent weeks about the quarterback situation for the Patriots. We'll talk to Bert Breer about that and many other things over the course of the hour. And, yes, we will get to that Ohio State situation with Bert. I can't wait to get Bert all fired up about that. That's all in the way here on Zolak and Bertrand, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Patriots in this scoreless game on the opening drive. Now a line, a third and goal to go.
Sneak over right
with
guard.
An I formation. An extra tackle in as a tight end left. And Izzo shifts to the left. It takes the snap. Yep. He leaps and extends the football to break the play. Touchdown, Patriots.
Great job by Cam there.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.